Okay, today we're going to learn Kritu Daf Kafbet. We're going to start at the bottom, Amarav Sheshet, five lines from the bottom. We were dealing with different braitot yesterday that are dealing with what types of blood that are not Asur Mishum Karet, are they going to be forbidden because in either by a low tase, malkot, not at all, or something in the middle where it's forbidden but there's no punishment. So Amarav Sheshet, Dam Mahachishtaim Afilu Mitzvah Prosh Embo. We were talking about blood of humans. You don't even have to separate from it. There's no problem, okay? You can eat blood of humans. So metive, we're going to have a problem from a braita, the braita that we saw yesterday where Dafka said it was a problem. Dam hatchol, spleen, dam halev, from the heart, dam hakleyot, from the kidneys, dam evarim, the blood in different organs. Hare elu belo tase. Those are forbidden lo tase, you get malkot. As opposed to dam hacheshtayim, dam shratzim v'remasim, asur v'en chayav alav. The following categories, which includes human blood, is forbidden, but you don't get punished for it. So what do you see here? It's forbidden. How could Rav Sheshet say it's not a problem at all? Kitanya asur diperesh. Ki ka'ama Rav Sheshet bidelo peresh. There's a difference between if the blood came out of the person's body, or if the blood was still in the person's body. So if the blood is still in the body, we're going to be more mekel. If the blood already came out of the body, then we're going to be more machmir. That's also connects with what we saw yesterday, that one can possibly confuse it with animal blood and then come to, you know, problematic conclusions. But if it's in the person's body, it's obvious it came from the person, and then it's allowed. Kiditanya, as we see in the following braita, Dam shal gabei kikar gororova ochlo. This we saw yesterday. If there's blood on a loaf of bread, meaning it came out of the person's body and now it's on the loaf of bread, what does it say? You have to remove it, gororova ochlo, and then you can eat the rest of the kikar. So what do you see? You see here that you can't eat blood that comes out of a person's body. But shalbena shinaim, if it's between your teeth, motzeitz ubolave no choshesh, you can just swallow it without being concerned. That was Rav Sheshet. So again, Rav Sheshet said, simply, dam al cheshtayim, there's absolutely no problem. But some people say, some people say that when Rav Sheshet made his statement, he was saying it on the following braita. But it wasn't just a statement, but he commented on the following braita. Yachol chalav mahal cheshtayim yehe ochlo over belav. You might have thought that the milk of humans, if you ate it, you'd be forbidden. It would be a low tase, okay? Like breast milk we're talking about. That maybe it's usherdi breast milk. This sounds very strange. How could you possibly say it's usherdi breast milk? But it could be what they're referring to is for adults to eat breast milk. There's actually a different sugya. This sugya is going to say it's okay. There's some other sugya in Ketubah which talks about that breast milk from adults, if an adult drinking breast milk is forbidden. Okay, it's an interesting sugya. We'll leave it aside for right now. But this is going to raise the issue that maybe breast milk from humans is forbidden. So you might have thought it's forbidden. Why? That you'd be a lo tase. V'dinhu. It's a logical argument. Ma behemat me'a shehi kalta b'maga'a hichmarta b'chalva. Take a non-kosher animal. A non-kosher animal is when it's alive. There's no problem. It's not. It doesn't. You don't become tame from an animal. Remember, we learned ba'alei chayim never become tame. So while they're alive. So a non-kosher animal, we're mekel on maga, if you touch a non-kosher animal, nothing's, you don't become tame. And yet, hechmarta b'chalva, the milk of a non-kosher animal is forbidden. You know this if you go traveling and there's certain places where they generally eat pig's milk, so it's a problem. So you're not allowed to eat milk from a non-kosher animal. So here comes the kalvachomer. Mahal cheshtayim, so humans, shehechmarta b'maga'an, where let's say anida, azava, azav, somebody comes in contact with them, they become tame. Ain't, or things that they touch become teme, ain't odin shetachmir b'chalban, so wouldn't you think then that we'd be machmir about the milk that comes from them? Talmud lomar, therefore we have a special drasha that tells us no. As they're trying to say, one could have theoretically made a logical argument. So what is the pasuk? V'ze lachem atamei. What does it say? This is when it lists all the non-kosher animals. And notice it says ze specifically these things. Ze tamei ve'en chalav mal cheshtayim tamei. So this teaches you only the following things are non-kosher, but the milk that comes, and it's right, which means those animals and their milk is not kosher, But anything else, meaning milk from humans, would be kosher. So, en chalam al chashayim tameh ela tahor. Here they mean tameh and tahor means kosher, non-kosher. They're using the lashon of the pasuk, zeh lachem tameh, this is not kosher. If you remember what we learned in Chulin about all the kosher and non-kosher animals, we talked about tameh and tahor are used both pure and impure and kosher, non-kosher. So here the context is kosher, non-kosher. So now they say, okay, fine. So otziyat ha-chalav she'ein shaveh b'kol. So fine. I'll take chalav, because chalav is not shaveh b'kol. What does that mean? Well, some animals you can have their chalav and some you can't. Kosher animals, you can eat the milk. Non-kosher animals, you can't eat the milk. So I understand if we're going to exclude something from a halchishtayim, by humans we'll say it's chalav. But maybe lo otziyat ha-dam she'shaveh b'kol. But blood of all animals, kosher, non-kosher, is forbidden. So maybe blood of humans will also be forbidden. Midoraita, Talmud lomar, v'ze lachem tameh. Ze tameh, v'ein dam al chishtayim tameh. Ela tahor. Okay, so now, the drasha here, and this is the important part for us, which is only the chalav of humans is going to be excluded, but... So you might have thought, Ein dam al chishtayim tameh ela tahor. So we're going to say now, we're not going to say blood of humans is like blood of all animals. We're going to say blood of humans is allowed. So now, Amar Rav Sheshet, Afilu mitzvah prosh empo. So now he says, and not only is it not forbidden, but there's no issue whatsoever. One is allowed to eat it. Okay, it's not just that it's in this in-between category. Okay, so just to review where we started with the statement of Rav Sheshet, that there's absolutely no problem to eat human blood. We brought a contradiction from a Braita, where it seemed to say it is problematic. We discussed that there's a difference whether the blood came out of the body, then it's going to be forbidden without any sort of punishment, versus if it's still in the body, then it's mutar. The second, then we went on to say, well, some people actually say that Rosh Hashanah didn't make a statement out of the blue. He made a statement to explain the Braita that we just learned. And that's what Rosh Hashanah was saying. He was saying, when this Braita says that Dam Mahal Cheshtayim is not Tameh Ela Tahor, not only is it Tahor, meaning it's allowed, it's totally allowed and there's no problem whatsoever. Now we're going to talk about blood in the heart. Tznan Hatam. Halev Koro Motziyat Damo. You know, the kosher livers, you make a little X on it, and you know you have to tear it, and then that's how you get the blood out. So with the heart also, in order to get the blood out, you have to tear it. But it's not a problem, b'dievet, if you didn't do it. So Amar Abizera, Amar Rav, lo shanu ela b'lev of, ho'il ve'en bo kezayit. We're only talking about the heart of a bird here. The b'dievet, it's okay, because there's not even kezayit of blood. Some of the mafreshim ask, well, if it's not a kezayit, of course it's not usher. So question about that exactly. But I think what he means to say here is there's not a lot of blood inside the heart of an oaf, and therefore b'dievet, it's okay. Of a lev behema, where there is, in the heart of an animal, there's a lot of blood, v'yesh bo kezayit, asur v'chayavin alav karet. That's going to be asur and chayavin alav karet, and even if, right, b'dievet, if you didn't do it, it's actually a problem. Okay, so he says that Mishnah that's talking about b'dievet, it's okay, is obviously not referring to the heart of an animal. Now we're going to have a problem. Meitive. What did our source say? We keep going back to the same source. Dama tchol, dama lev, dama kleo, dama barim, hare elu belo ta'ase. What does that mean? You get malkot for them. It's just a lo ta'ase, but it's not kare. So how could you say, how could Rabbi Zera say that the lev of a beima you get kareid for when the Braita clearly said it's only a lo ta'ase? And they just read the rest of the Braita, which isn't relevant for our purposes right now. Dam al cheshtayim, dam shkatzimu rumasim asur ve'en chayavin alav. So now they say, ki katane en chayavin alav. Now they're not referring to en chayavin alav, because en chayavin alav is the part about the humans. What they really mean is that you're not chayav karet for it, when it says that hare elu belo ta'ase. So when it says hare elu belo ta'ase, that's al dam dilei. There's two different bloods of the heart. There's the blood that's absorbed in the walls of the heart, that's the blood that's in the heart itself. That's the blood that you're actually not chayav aleh. Okay, meaning you don't get curry, you only get malkot. Ki ka'amar Rav, but when Rav said that you're going to get, that you're going to get curry for it, what was he talking about? Ta'atele me'alma, that comes from other places in the body and flows into the heart, more like in the cavity of the heart, rather than in the walls of the heart. So now they say, wait a minute. Dam delay, if you're going to say its own blood, okay, and that's what they're talking about in that braita, dam tchol, dam alev, that means the blood that's absorbed in the walls of the heart, hainu dam evarim. That is dam evarim. And look at the braita. It says, dam tchol, dam alev, dam kleyot, dam evarim, as if those are four separate things. But theoretically, dam alev is really dam evarim, because it means the blood that's absorbed inside that organ. So they throw back a question on this question, and they say, that's not a question. Because vilita mech, milo katani dam kleyot, and for all intents and purposes, they could have all said dam atchol. All of those, there's four things. Tchol, lev, kleyot, evarim, right? Spleen, heart, kidneys, and general evarim. So all of them really are evarim. So you really have the question on all, whether you say the dam is the dam absorbed in the walls or not, what else is dam kleyot and what else, right? None of the other evarim have this cavity where blood's going to collect from some place, which eventually we're going to explain where is the blood coming from and why is that blood usher correct. Okay, but we'll get to that soon. But in the meantime, they say, v'lita mech, milo katani dam kleyot, v'katani dam evarim. Ella, the only way to explain it is tani v'hadar tani, that the Braita said details and then just gave a general rule. So therefore, you'd have to say the same thing with the heart. Tane v'hadar, hachinami tane v'hadar tane. Also here, it's they said it and then they said the general, right? That these are all dam evarim. Yeah, so then it's not really four, it's really three with then a general rule about those, that they're all usher because they're dam evarim. Now, me'alma meheche atele, and where is this blood coming from? And therefore, also really, why is it usher midoraita din karet? Whereas regular dam from the walls of the heart is only usher as an isur lav with malkot. So amar Rabbi Zera, b'sha'asha neshama yotza mishraf shraif. When you kill the animal, and there's that big spurt of blood that, like, something happens to the animal, and blood spurts all around the body, and it goes and collects in the heart. So now it makes sense that it would be chayav karet, because it's really dam shchita, which is the dam shenefesh yotzaba, which is the dam that's the most basic dam. And that's why it's asur karet. So when you shef the animal, and then you start taking apart the animal, and there's this blood collected in the heart, that blood obviously came from other places, and that's the dam that you're chayav karet for. Okay, in the context of while the neshama of the animal is going out, this is what happens. Now we're going to go back to this, and this isn't why it connects here, but it's just interesting from a literary perspective that now we're moving on to the part in the Mishnah where it talked about dam hakaza, that we said we'd explain later, when you're bloodletting, the blood shaneshama yotza ba chayavin alav. The blood that comes out with the bloodletting, which is the blood that So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that it actually kills the person. In other words, if you're bloodletting and the person dies, well, then that blood is usher. No, what we're talking about is blood that you bloodlet, that if you took out all that blood, the person would never be able to survive. So what kind of blood is that? What's the blood we're talking about? In order to understand this, you have to, the background of this is that according to the Gemara, there's four stages of blood that come out when you bloodlet. First, some black blood comes out. The first blood that comes out is black in color, and it kind of drips out. Then, after the black comes out, then red starts coming out. And then once the red, there's four stages. First black, a little bit, in drips. Then red, in drips. Then there's a big splurt of blood, which they're going to call miklach, mikaleach. Okay, it kind of spurts out, like a big spurt. And then, the end, it drips out. Okay, so you're going to have drip black, drip red, big spurt of red, and then drip of red. Okay, if you get that, then it'll be easy to understand the continuation. Itmar. So now, itmar is usually an introduction to a machloket between two emoraim. Izehu dam kazah sheneshamat luyabo. Right now we're going to see there's a machloket Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlakish. At the end of the sugya, they're going to say, by the way, there's also a machloket tana'im, the exact same machloket. So not just that the emoraim debated, but even in the earlier time period, tana'im, time of the Mishnah, there was also a debate about it. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar calls man shemekaleach. He says it's dafka, the big spurt. It's only stage three. That's it. Rish Lakish amar mitipa mashcheret ba'elach. As soon as the black drip is out, the beginning part, stages two, three, and four are all dam shel shamay yotzava. So Rabbi Yochanan says only stage three. Rish Lakish says stages two, three, and four. Meitive. Now we're going to have a few questions on Rish Lakish. Ezehu dam kazash and shamay yotzava. We're now going to have a bright to ask this question exactly. Okay, as it's spurting out, which sounds just like Rabbi Yochanan. And now, all the more so, they're going to say, what doesn't it include? Because theoretically, Rish Lakish also says when it spurts out. It's just, he says, also a little before and also a little after. Yatza dam atamtzit mipnei shehu shotet. But then it says, but it excludes the dam atamtzit. Now, dam atamtzit really doesn't have any place here, because what's dam atamtzit? If you remember, that's when you shech the animal and you kill the animal. This isn't talking about killing an animal. But when you shecht an animal, there's a huge spurt, very similar to the bloodletting. And after that, there's blood that drips out. That's the damatamsit, which if you remember in the Mishnah, there was a homachloket, is damatamsit usher or not? And when it comes to, I'll kind of preface, because this is going to be intro to things we're going to do later today, which is this, when it comes to the mizbeach, you can't bring damatamsit. You have to bring the real dama nefesh that you bring on the mizbeach, because remember, dama is two aspects. Number one, this is what you bring on the mizbeach from the animal. And number two, you're forbidden to eat it. So the dama tamsit, right, says here, dama tamsit is not included in this, okay, which is not dam shenashama yotzaba, mipneshu shote, because it just drips out. So the life is not dependent upon it. So now they're trying to figure out, what does dama tamsit have anything to do here? So in order to question Rish Lakish, they're going to say, my lav is not what it means when it says dama tamsit here. Afilu rishon va'acharon dishotetu kidama tamsit dame. In other words, the blood of stage number two and four, where it just drips out a little, is like damatamsi, which means it's not blood that the neshama is connected to. Which, right, it makes it sound like we're excluding any dam that's shotek, which would then exclude Rish Lakish's opinion. So, tiyuvta to Rish Lakish. So, in order to answer this, they say, no, that's not what it meant. Lo. Lemeute dam hamashchir. He was trying to say, damatamsit is like the first black blood that drips out. Because notice it said, mipneshu shotet, because it drips out. So the first black blood, which even Rish Lakish excluded, is what he's excluding, and not necessarily stages two and four, just stage one. Aval dam rishon v'acharon, but the dam before and after, meaning stages two and four, the one before and after, not the real rishon, the first stage, but the ones, the red blood before and after the big spurt, even though that just drips, that's the dam hanefesh. That was one way to explain that bright test, so it doesn't contradict Rish Lakish. But now we have another one. Meitive, ezehu dam rishon, or it should be dam hanefesh. Right, it's a mistake here. Ezehu dam hanefesh. What's the dam hanefesh? Kol zman shemekalech. But here, now what does it say? Instead of saying yatsa damatansi, what is it? Which we could then explain, maybe it only means the black. Here it says, yatsa rishon va'acharon mipnei shu shoteh. Here it says explicitly in this braita, it excludes stages two and four. Tiyuvte derish lakish, and there's no way to really explain this. So Amar lecha, what would he say theoretically if he was there? He would say tonight, he'd say, oh, it's a machlok, a tana'im, right? It's never a problem if there's a source that contradicts you, a tana'itic source, if you could say, well, that's one guy's opinion, but I hold by another opinion. Titania, ezu dama nefesh, kozman shemekalech devrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shimon omer mitipa mashcheret ve'elach. And here you have the two different opinions said in the names of two tana'im, and therefore, don't worry about that source. We just say that it's like Rabbi Elazar, and I hold like Rabbi Shimon. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, v'dam chalalim yishte. Here's the pasuk from which we learn a very important halacha. If you remember, there's seven liquids that can cause something that once the liquids fall on a food item, then that item can be potentially become impure. How do we learn that blood is one of them? If you remember, there's the Rashi Tevot Yad Shachat Dam, so one of the dalits is for dam, blood. How do we know dam? Because it says, v'dam chalalim yishte. Which means, what do you see here? Blood could be a drink, okay? But what kind of blood could be a drink? The dam of dead people, okay? So what does this come to exclude? Prat ledam kiluach she'eino machshir et hazra'im. What does this teach you? The dam kiluach from hakazah, from bloodletting, the big spurt of blood that might seem similar to you, and you might say the nefesh yotzaba, but it's not actually the blood from a dead person. Only blood from a dead person is going to be blood that would be machshir lekabel tuma, but not blood from a live person. Ba'amine Rabbi Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera the following question. He kis dam lebehema, v'kibel dama b'shnei kosot mahu. If you do bloodletting on an animal, and then you collect the blood in two cups. Okay, now what's the assumption? That there was a lot of blood and not all of it came from what we call the problematic hakazah, depending on who you hold by. But what do we say here? Mahu. Ala rishon divrei kol chayav. And the first one, it clearly came from the big spurt. Ala acharon, mi machayav olo. You chayav on the second one or not. Amar le, plukted Rabbi Yochanan of Rish Lakish. It's exactly the machlok of Rabbi Yochanan of Rish Lakish. And it connect, and we're going to see not only does it match what they said before about Rabbi Yochanan, said it's just the big spurt, so therefore the second cup very likely came from the drips. And when Bichayav was Rish Lakish says all of it is. And notice they even argue about this explicitly. De Itmar, he kis dam lebeima, v'kibel dama b'shnei kosot, Rish Lakish amar chayav shtei chataot. You're chayav chatat on each one. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Yochanan amar eino chayav ela achat. Okay, you're only chayav on one. Rabbi Yehuda machayav b'dam hatamzi. Now we're going to go back to the machloket in the Mishnah about the dam hatamzi. So is it blood that you're chayav on for eating or not? Again, chayav karet here. Amar Rabbi Elazar, modeh Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan kapara, shene'emar ki adam u'vanefesh yichaper. Even though Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between, now generally, maybe I should preface it by reading the psukim, when it talks about the issue of eating dam, what does it say? Ki nefesh habasar, it's v'yikra yud zayin yud aleph, ki nefesh habasar badamhu. Why is it forbidden to eat blood? Because the soul is in the blood, or the life, it's life blood. That's the blood that we use on the mizbeach. Therefore, it's forbidden to eat. It's kind of like the chalev. The chalev is the part that's burned on the mizbeach, and therefore, it's forbidden to eat. So now you would think to make the obvious connection. Well, if dam hatamtzi can't go on the mizbeach, then dam hatamtzi theoretically should be allowed to be eaten. So now they come and they say, well, even though Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayav karet if you drink dam hatamtzi, still, when it comes to the mizbeach, he doesn't think that you're allowed to bring it on the mizbeach, because you might have thought those two go hand in hand. So he says, right, clearly when it comes to kapara and atonement, it has to be ki adamu b'nefesh yechaper, it's only dam shenefesh yotzabo mechaper. V'she'en ha'nefesh yotzabo eno mechaper. It's not that he thinks that the dam atamtzit is dam ha'nefesh. It's just he says you're also chayav karet for that. But when it comes to korban and getting kapara, for sure you can't put that dam on the mizbeach. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, af ana nami tanina. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says the fact that what Rabbi Elazar said, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree about the Mizbeach, we have the following bright about it, and this bright is going to distinguish between those two. Even though you might have thought they were connected, we're going to see they're not. Ditanya, dam, matamu lomar. When it says dam, what does it mean? Matamu lomar kol dam. Why does it, sorry, when it says dam, dam would have been enough. Why does it say kol dam? Lefishin emar ki adamu banefesh yechaper, because it says, dam is usher because that's the blood we use for atonement, and it's the blood from the nefesh. Ainli el adam kodeshim shenefesh yotzabo. We would think that it's only, right, the only dam that's usher is dam kodeshim shenefesh yotzabo, shehu mechaper. But dam chulin, let's say it's dam that doesn't come from a korban, or dam atamtzi, the blood that's not the blood that we put on the mizbeach, minayin. How do we know that that's usher? Ah, tamud lamar kol dam. There you have the kol, comes to include even things that wouldn't go on the mizbeach. And as the pshat would have been, it didn't say the word kol, that it was only dam that goes on the mizbeach, that's the dam that's forbidden to eat. But comes to include the kol dam, also dam chulit, also dam tamsi. What does this have to do with Rabbi Yehuda? Well, stam sifra mane, this is a sifra, it's a midrash halacha and sefer vayikra, in the book that's called Sifra. Who is the stam sifra? Well, we don't have a name, it's generally attributed, right? We generally have all these different books that were written in the Tanaitic sources. There's attributions. This one, we assume, if nobody knew his name, right, he's the one who put that together, it must be his name, or even if he's not the one who put it together, right, like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put together the Mishnah, but stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. We have a Masoret that he generally follows Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifra generally follows Rabbi Yehuda. So that opinion, there you see it, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That proves Rabbi Elazar, that even though you can't use it on the Mizbeach, it's still usher to be eaten. You get karet for it. Now we're moving on to the topic of Safek Me'ila. If you remember, we talked about this before. That, okay, let's just review. Asham Taloy is a korban that you bring when you're not sure if you did something that was a chatat. If you remember, we also learned, we'll review this again today, that it's only when you have a chatat kfu'a, where it's a chatat that's very specific, you have to bring this animal. But when you have a korban olevi yored, like in the following categories, where, like if you saw a testimony and didn't come forward and lied about it, or the few things that you're chayav and olevi yored, where it will depend how wealthy, how poor you are, then if there's a sefek, whether you did that or not, you don't bring an asham talor. Asham talor is only on chatat, and it's only on chatat kvua, and not an olevi yored. So now it comes from Rabbi Akiva, and he says, by the way, you're also mechayav al sefek me'ila asham talor, not just as if for korbanot chatat, but it's also if you had sefek about whether you did me'ila or not. Now, if you're vaden mo'el, what do? There's two things you have to do. You have to bring the value of the item, right? Me'ila means you accidentally used something that was hektesh. You used it for your own purposes. You're chayav to bring the value of the item that you desecrated, plus adding a chomesh, a fifth. Obviously, it goes to the Beit HaMikdash, because that's who you, so to speak, stole from. And then you have to bring a korban in Asham Me'ila. So what does he say? If you're not sure if you accidentally used something that was hekdesh, you're not sure, let's say the item was hekdesh, so you bring an Asham Taloi in the meantime. But Chachamim Potrim, Chachamim say, no way. There's no Asham Taloi for Asham Me'ila. Now, I'll already preface this by saying there's a difference between an Asham Taloi that's supposed to be brought instead of a Chatat and an Asham Taloi that's supposed to be brought instead of an Asham. What's the difference? Well, one, you bring it, you know, what did we say always with an Asham Taloi? When you bring it temporarily, it only covers you until such time that you figure out, did you actually do something wrong? At that point, your Asham won't cover you because you did something that you're Chayav HaChatat for. When it comes to Me'ila, you bring an Asham Taloi. Now what happens when you find out you did something wrong? Do you have to bring another Korban Asham? You already brought a Korban Asham. Right. Because when it's two different Korbanot, so we understand. But so let's see now. So Rabbi Kiva says, you're Chayav and Asham Taloi. And Chachamim say no. Soon we're going to see in the Gemara what the basis of their machloket. We're going to actually see that there's, I think, four different possibilities about what their machloket is. Umodi Rabbi Akiva she'eino meviyat milato ad shiit vadalo. Ve'yavi imo Asham vadai. Comes Rabbi Akiva and he says, listen, even though you're bringing an Asham Taloi in the interim, before you establish were you guilty or not, you do have to bring something, but what don't you have to do? We said Asham Me'ila has two aspects. One is the payment of what you stole, and two is the korban. The korban, you bring me suffix, but you don't pay any money up front. You wait until such time as you figure it out. If you figure it out, then, it says, right, then yavi imo Asham vadai. Then, what do? So, right, stage one, you bring Asham Taloi. Stage two, you pay, and then you bring an Asham vadai. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. Although we'll see, he's going to give a minor variation later. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, malizem yibishte Ashamot. What are you talking about? To bring two korbanot Ashams on the same avera? Ela mevi mi'ila v'chomsha. From the beginning, you pay the value. Okay, according to Rabbi Tarfon, stage number one, there's really only one stage. You pay what you stole and the chomesh, and you bring an Asham Taloi. Okay, and then what do? You say like this. V'yavi Asham b'shnei sla'im. It has to be two sla'im's worth. Okay, we're going to get back to this later about the two sla'im. V'yomar im vaday ma'alti. If I for sure did it, zo me'ilati v'zo Ashami. Here's my money, and here's my korban. V'im safek ma'alti. And this is going to be the problem. And if I'm not sure if I did it, okay, we're going to question, what do you mean you're not sure? It should be, and if I didn't do it, okay, we'll get back to that. But im safek ma'alti, we understand what the meaning is. Then hama'ot nidava, these will be a gift to the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'asham taloi, right? And this will be my asham taloi that I'm supposed to bring. Okay. Now, why does he say this? Shemimin shu mevi al hoda, mevi al lo hoda. Since the lack of knowledge, you do an asham. And when you know for sure you did it, it's an asham. It's the same thing. So just bring one. There's no need to bring two. Now, on the one hand, he's being a little mekel because he's only making you bring one korban. On the other hand, he's being machmir because he's making you pay up front when maybe you didn't even do it. Now, one thing to note in this discussion is Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy. So it's interesting, because it could be he wasn't sensitive. I don't want to say Rabbi Tarfon wasn't sensitive, but theoretically it could be that he wasn't as understanding of, you know, he said, why don't you just cover your bases, pay it, be done with it, right? Better always to be done with things. Who likes to live with these spekot in their lives, right? Oh, worrying always, maybe I did it, maybe I didn't. At this point, you're done. You finished. It's a great solution. However, he's not realizing that maybe people don't want to spend the money on this when they didn't actually do anything wrong. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, comes in and he has that financial sensitivity. He says, if it was not a big item that you did mi'ila with, then I agree with you. Share yavoli de safek mi'ila. Then he says, Share yavoli de safek mi'ila b'me'a mana, lo yafelo sheyavi asham b'steh sla'im, for lo yavi safek mi'ila b'me'a mana. He says, what, isn't it better for him? Right? And Asham, the issue is this. The korban Asham has a minimum value. As opposed to other korbanot, there's no minimum value of what the animal's worth. It has to be worth at least shnei shkalim. But he says, but if the, so in the end, it's true you're saving yourself the two sla'im down the road. the 2 shekalim, for not paying that other korban. On the other hand, if the value of what you have to pay now is so large, well then, who would want to do that? I'd rather pay an extra korban down the road than and hope that maybe I really didn't do anything wrong and I won't ever have to take out this mammon, right? Mammon is a ton of money. He's giving like an exaggerated sum, but he's saying, you're going to make someone pay all that money? Okay, and here comes the sikkum, even though we already know this. And therefore, that's why I said it's in the end, Rabbi Akiva doesn't disagree entirely because he says that theoretically you could have your asham cover your asham taloi. You could have your asham taloi cover your asham badai. Okay, that is a possibility. He says we don't do it. We don't do it when the amount of me'ila is too high because we don't want to make you incur financial liability when you might not necessarily need to. Now we're going to get to what's the basis of their machloket, and we're going to have a number of suggestions till we finally conclude what really the difference is. Tanu Rabbanan. So in order to understand this, we have to look at the Psukim in Vayikra, Perek Hey. This is one of those cases that pays to open a Tanakh. So Vayikra Perek Hey, in Pasuk Tev Yudalit, it starts off and it says, V'idaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Nefesh Kitim O Mal V'chata B'shgaga Mikotche Hashem, V'yivit Hashem Ola Hashem El Tamim Minatzon. Okay, so if you do Me'ilah, what do? You bring an El Tamim from the Tzon. Be'er Kacha Kesef Shkalim B'shekel HaKodesh La'ashan. Here you get it where it has to be a minimum of 2 shkalim. Okay, it's the only place of a korban where it gives the value. So right now, we specifically know Asham Mi'ilah needs to be 2 shkalim. We don't really know that Asham Taloi also does, but we'll see later where they get that from. And then, Ve'et Asher Chatam Min HaKodesh Yishalem, Ve'et Chamishato Yosef Alav, so you have to pay the value, plus the Chomesh, Ve'natan Oto LeKohen, and then the Kohen Techaper Alav, Ve'el Asham V'Nislach Lo. Next Pasuk says, and notice it starts with the letter Vav. Vav is the connects these two sections. So right after Asham Mi'ilot is none other than Asham Taloi. Okay, first of all, it makes sense. If we're talking about Ashamot, so here's an Asham, and there's another Asham. But they're going to darshan the fact that there's a Vav there, V'im nefesh ki tachtav, asa achat mikom mitzvot Hashem asher lo te'asena, he did some chet, v'lo yadan, he didn't know that he did it, v'ashem, v'nasa avono, v'vi el tamim, right, so he's not sure if he's guilty or not, so he brings el tamim minatzom be'er kacha. Notice it says be'er kacha, like it said in Asham Mi'ilot, but it doesn't say Be'er Kacha Kesef Shkalim. It doesn't say what the value of it is. It just says its value. La'asham al-Kohen. Okay, etc. I don't need to read the rest of the psukim. So now comes the drasha. Tanu Rabbanan. Ve'im nefesh. L'chayev al-safek mi'ilot Asham Taloi Devar Rabbi Akiva. Comes Rabbi Akiva and he says, the Vav connector comes to tell you, just like, right, you have to bring an Asham for Asham Mi'ilot, right, the second section is teaching about the first bet. In essence, we're going to say, right, Lemedim el yom mitachton. We're going to learn, we're going to go backwards. We're going to say Asham Ilot, then Asham Taloi. We're going to learn back from Asham Taloi to Asham Ilot. That if you have a case of Asham Ilot where you're sefek, you have to bring an Asham Taloi. The Chachamim putrin, but they disagree. They exempt you. So Lema, here comes option number one. So that was just the bright tie. It didn't really explain so much. So now we have to understand, what does this mean? Lema b'haka miflugit. Maybe this is the root of their machloket. To Rabbi Akiva Savar lemedim al yomi tachton. Rabbi Akiva says you can learn from a later part to an earlier part. And we're going to go back and say, Asham Taloi is going to teach us about Asham Me'ilot, that in a suffix, whether you did it or not, you're going to bring an Asham Taloi because of the Vav. And they're obviously learning this because of the Vav that connects them. Rabbanan Savre ein lemedim al yomi tachton. We don't teach backwards. We don't teach the previous section. So, okay, but I'm a Rav Papa. No. Tekuli Amal Lemedim Al Yomi Tachton. Everybody agrees with that. And how do we know everyone agrees? De'im Ken, Safon Beben Bakar, Lo Mishkachat Lehu. Okay, what's Safon Beben Bakar? Okay, going back, we learned this a long time ago in Zvachim. The Shechita of an Ola you do in the northern part of the Mizbeach. There's a whole debate. What north of the Mizbeach, north of the room? What, okay, but you do it in the north. Where do we learn that from? If you look in Vayikra Perak Aleph, in the beginning of the section, it says, if you bring a korban, min abakar, min atzon takrivu, and then it says, pasuk gimel, im ola korbano min abakar, this is what you do, and it doesn't say anywhere there, tzafon. Then when you go to pasuk yud, it says, v'im min atzon korbano min akvasim, o min aizim, l'ola, etc., v'shachat oto al yerach ha-mizbeach tzafona. Pasuk yud alef says, you do it in the tzafon. Now notice it started with v'im min atzon. So now, by the Bakar, it doesn't say you do it in the Tzafon. But they learn, Yilamed al Yomi Tachton, we can go backwards and say the Vav connects. What's true for this is true for the earlier section. Okay, So therefore, it can't be the Chachamim don't agree with this, because otherwise they'd have no way to learn Tzafon b'Mem Bakar. Ella, so option number two. Hacha hainu tamei d'rabanan d'patre d'gemirei mitzvot mitzvot mechatat. There's words that appear both in Chatat and in Hashem Taloi. What's that word? Mitzvot, right? Yastah hamakom mitzvot Hashem, and there also it says mitzvot. So what are we going to say? Even though theoretically we have this vav and we can learn Eliyomi Tachton, however, we have a specific Zera Shava by Chatat and Hashem Taloi, which teach that it's only, you only bring Hashem Taloi on a Chatat and things that are like a Chatat. What is that? Malahalan davar. So we're going to have something that overrides, basically. We're going to override the Eliyomi Tachton because of this Zera Shava. Malahalan davar shachayavin al zdono karet ba'al shigato chatap ba'al sveko Hashem Taloi, or maybe you don't say those words. Either which way, right? It's what's unique about a chatat? You're chayav karet if you do it b'mezid. And then you're chayav chatat if you do it b'shoget. Therefore, av kol shachayavin al zdono karet ba'al shigato chatat ba'al sveko Hashem Taloi, right? So in other words, only when it's karet, if it's mezid, and chatat when it's shoget, that's when you're chayav Hashem Taloi, la'afuke mi'ila de'en chayavin al zdono karet. And that excludes mi'ila, which doesn't have karet associated with it. You don't get karet, that wasn't one of the things. Remember, you pay, and you're free korban Hashem, but we never said you get karet for it. So therefore, that overrides his Eliyomi Tachton. Ditanya, how do we know that you're not chayav karet? Because the Braita said, Hezi b'me'ila, if you did me'ila on purpose, even right, because me'ila generally is shogeg. What if you did it on purpose? Rebbe omer b'mita, v'chachamim omerim ba'asara. Rebbe says you get mita b'idei shamayim, and chachamim say, right, you get killed by the hands of God, and chachamim say it's a lo tase. Okay, you get malkot. But note that nobody says it's karet. Okay, there's no karet by me'ila. So, here you see, that's chachamim, they say we have this Zera Sheva. Now, what's the problem? What's Rabbi Akiva going to do with the Gzera Shava? Because Rabbi Akiva says, no, we're going to learn Eliyomi Tachton. So, what's he going to do with the Gzera Shava? So they say very simply, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Ki Afina Mitzvot Mitzvot Mechatat Chelev. When we learn Mitzvot Mitzvot, what's the case there? Chatat of Chelev, someone who ate Chelev, right? That's going to be what we call a Chatat Kvua, where there's a set, I'm going back to now to what I prefaced or what I said in the intro today, which is there's two different types of chatat. There's an olevi yored and there's a kfu'ah. Now notice the word mitzvot came up in the context of the chatat kfu'ah, the chatat chelev. So therefore they say, lahachi hu d'alpinan. I need the Gzeres Sheva to teach us a different halacha, not about Hashem Taloi and that only chatat brings Hashem Taloi. I needed to teach you ma lahalan b'kfu'ah, af kan b'kfu'ah, lafuke olevi yored delo. It's to teach you that since the mitzvot appear by chatat in the chatat kfu'ah case, where it's not dependent on you bring the same thing no matter how rich or poor you are. And to teach you, Hashem Taloi is only brought on Chatat Kvua and not on Yolevi Yored. Okay, so that's our second option. Okay, so again, according to this, Rabbi Akiva is Lomed El Yomi Tachton. Chachamim say, we don't in this case because of the Gzera Shava. Rabbi Akiva will say, I learned the Gzera Shava, but only partially. So now they're going to question. Rabbanan Savre, Ein Gzera Shava Lemechze, right? So first of all, what's Rabbanan going to say about what Rabbi Akiva learns? He also is going to learn what Rabbi Akiva learned. But he holds, you can't make Gzera Shava Lemechze. Once you have Gzera Shava, we're going to learn everything one to the other. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, Michal, Rabbi Akiva Savre, Yes, Gzera Shava Lemechze? So Rabbi Akiva says you can darshan Gzera Shava only partially? Ella, so therefore we reject that option. Option number three. Ella de Kuleyama Ein Gzera Shava Lemechze. Everybody agrees you can't. So therefore, we're going to have to say it's a different reason. Elahayna tamad Rabbi Akiva de Amarkra ve'im nefesh vav mosif al inyam rishon v'yelamed al yomi tachton. Okay, so again, that's Rabbi Akiva. He's going to stay pretty solid all throughout that we learn al yomi tachton because of the vav. Here it's the first place where they say it explicitly, that the vav mosif al inyam rishon, the vav is the connector. Berabanan savre tachton hu degamar me al yon. The vav is a connector, but it connects in the reverse direction. It teaches you that what was true in the first case is also going to be true in the second case. What's that? La Asham bekesef shkalim. That's how we learn that by a korban Asham talui, it needs to be also minimum value of 2 shkalim. The vav comes to say that what was true in the Asham mi'ila is going to be true also in the Asham talui. But not that it teaches you bring an Asham talui on a mi'ila. V'rabbi anasapik mi'ila. V'rabbi Akiva savar ein hekesh lemechze. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva is going to say, once you're comparing, once you're going forwards, you also go backwards. In other words, if we're going to say these two have similarities because they're juxtaposed to each other, we're going to say, well, they're juxtaposed in both directions, right? If we learn one this way, we learn one that way. This is going to be the flip question that we asked about Gzeira Shava Lemechtzeh. Now, right, we're going to say Rabbi Akiva says, you can't do a Hekesh Lemechtzeh. Michlal, now a question on this option. Michlal, Rabbanan Sefer, Yesh Hekesh Lemechtzeh? Right, Rabbanan are going to hold, there is Hekesh Lemechtzeh? But Hakaimalan, don't we know De Ein Hekesh Lemechtzeh? Okay, so again, option number three was, it's Elyon Mitachton or Tachton Me'Elyon, right, or both. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold, it goes both directions. Rabbi Chachamim hold, it only goes in one direction. And then we're going to question that again, saying, no, nobody says this Hekesh Lemechtzeh, which means we reject this option of understanding Shita Rabbanan. So again, Kulei Alma, option number four. Everybody agrees En Hekesh Lemechtzeh. It would theoretically go in both directions. V'hacha Hainu Tama de Rabbanan. The reason for Rabbanan Shita is Degamrei Mitzvot Afke Mehekesha. Again, we go back to saying, because they have the Gzera Shava, that releases the Hekesh. In other words, again, it overrides the Hekesh. So the Mitzvot comes to say only things that are like a Chata. And now, Rabbi Akiva, Asham B'Kesef Shkalim. So now, where did Rabbi Akiva learn that an Asham is B'Kesef Shkalim? Now, this is a little bit of a strange question, because we already said that Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan the Hekesh in both directions. So why wouldn't he do that? So again, where are we up to? Theoretically, you could darshan the Hekesh in both directions. However, Chachamim say we have the mitzvot that overrides it. And now we're going to have to explain, according to Rabbi Akiva, how do we learn that Asham, on the Asham Telo, you have to bring up a tushna, it has to be minimum of two shkalim. So now they say, Naftale mi zot Torah Asham. He learns it from a different place. It says zot Torah Asham. What do we learn from that? Torah achad l'chol Ashamot. Right? We learn it's the same law for all Ashamot. So because by one Asham, this goes back to things we learned in Zvachim, if you remember, there's so many things that aren't, details that aren't specified in each case. So just like the Tzafon that we just discussed. You only said Tzafon in one case, but they learned from it to all other cases, to a bunch of other cases. So here also, it says it by Asham Me'ila, because it's a Zotarat Asham, it's going to mean it applies to all Korbanot Asham. For Rabbanan, so why wouldn't Rabbanan just learn it from there? Afagav dichtiv Zotarat Asham, itzdrich lemichtav vi'im nefesh, vav mosif alinyam rishon v'yelameh tachtom elyon. So again, right, Chachamim say, we're going to darshan the vav to teach you that also in the case of Asham Talay, we're going to learn that it's also Shnei Shkalim. Why doesn't he learn it from Zot Torah? V'imi Zot Torah Asham, hava amina ki amina Torah achat l'chol Ashamot. You might have thought that when I said all Ashamot have the same law, it might not have included the Asham Talay. Why? Because hanemili b'shar Ashamot v'de'in. That means all Asham Vadas. The whole sugya really is trying to get to, is Asham Teloi inherently different from Asham Vadai, or is it the same? Right? Because they're all called Asham, right? That's what Rabbi Tarfon tried to say. It's all Asham, what's the difference? But now we're going to say, maybe you would think to distinguish between Asham Vadai and Asham Teloi, but Asham Teloi kevanda al safek chelev ka'ate, ema lo. Now, why would you think to distinguish by Asham Teloi in this case, and say maybe we have a great logical reason to say, maybe Asham Teloi doesn't need to be Shnei Shkalim? Because what's it coming for in Asham Taloi? Classic Asham Taloi is on Safek Chelev, right? Or Safek, something you're Chayav a Chatap for. Now, if it's coming, you're supposed to bring a Chatap, but you don't know if you're Chayav a Chatap. So you bring an Asham Taloi. Well, Ema lo yehe sfeko chamor mivada'o. You're now going to be more machmir on the value of your Asham Taloi than you are on your Chatap. Ma vada'i Chatap badanka. You can bring a sixth of a dinar. You don't even need a lot of money. It could be worth anything. Asfeko Asham Bardanka. So maybe the Asham that comes to instead of the, or at least in the interim, it's instead of, maybe it just needs to be a Bardanka. It doesn't need to be two shkalim. Ahachi Kata Brahmana V'im Nefesh Vav Mosif Liyam Rishon. That's why you needed the Vav to say no. The Vav connects again. This is all Rabbanan. What did they use the Vav for? The Vav is not to teach you. You bring an Asham Tali for Me'ila, for Safek Me'ila. No, it's to teach you that you have to bring the two shkalim. So, okay, so again, Rabbi Akiva darshins it from Zot Torah Asham. Rabbanan says Zot Torah Asham would teach you for all other Ashamot. Theoretically, we teach you this also, but we're not, you might have thought it didn't, therefore you need the Vav. So, ha ni chalaman de darsh Zot Torah Asham. Okay, so this answer of where does Rabbi Akiva get that you need Shnei Shkalim all works if you have the drasha. Okay, we're now going to learn. Not everybody believed in this drasha of Zot Torah Hashem. So if you're one of the people who holds Zot Torah Hashem, then you can read that we darshan it, that teaches about all the other Hashemot, that you have to bring Shnei Shkalim. Then you can say that must explain Rabbi Akiva. But Ela Laman de Lo Darish Zot Torah Hashem, if you don't hold by that, then my Ika Lameimer, how can you learn it? Here's maybe an even simpler answer. Yalef be'erkecha be'erkecha me'asha me'ila. If you don't learn Zot Torah Hashem, then what do you have to do? Basically, you have to individually learn by all the Hashemot some sort of connection to Asha Me'ila. So when it comes to the Asham Taloi, where do we learn it from? If you know, I specifically pointed out when I read the Psukim, it says be'erkecha. It doesn't say be'erkecha shkalim, right? But it says be'erkecha. So what do they say? But the word be'erkecha kesef shkalim is what appears in Me'ila. So gzera sheva, there it says be'erkecha, there it says be'erkecha kesef shkalim. What's there? It's two shkalim, also here. Asham shibcha harufa. Now what about an asham of shibcha harufa? Where do we learn that from? Lo kataba be'erkecha. It doesn't say be'erkecha. Yalfinam ba'ayel ba'ayel. There it says you have to bring an ayel, and by asham ila it says you have to bring an ayel, gzera sheva, ayel, ayel, and you learn it. Moder Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now we get to Moder Rabbi Akiva, right? He's Moder. And then Rabbi Tarfon came and tried to say about the money issue, right? That you'd only need one asham. So first of all, ve'im safek mai ka'amar, right? This whole thing about Rabbi Tarfon, who said, and if it's a safek, right? If it's vada and if it's safek, what do you mean? If I did it or if I didn't do it, right? What's he talking about? Amarava, tenei im besfeko me la'olam. What it means is, if I never end up determining whether I did it or not, then yehe asham talui. Okay, and why is that? Shemimin shivial hodam, mibial shalo hodam, right? So sof sof, that was what Rabbi Tarfon's argument was, right? You bring an asham anyway. Sof sof, kimit yadale, baya tuya asham vadai. But in the end, shouldn't you have to bring an asham vadai? So now they say, because in the end, what do we say about a chatat? You have to bring a chatat because you need, in order to get atonement, you have to have knowledge that you did something. You don't get atonement if you don't actually know you did something wrong. So what did they learn from here? Amar Rava, midivrei shneihem nilmad. Even Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva even agrees with Rabbi Tarfon, that theoretically your ashram could cover you as long as you pay the money up front, because, you know, it's not a lot of money. And Rabbi Tarfon, in any case, should pay the money up front. He says we can learn that ashram vadai lo bai yediyat lechatchila, or yediyat tchila. You don't need knowledge to get atonement for an ashram. It's different from another ashram. Okay, we'll quickly start the next Mishnah. Haisha shivia chatata of. A woman brings chatata of misafek. It's missing the word misafek. She's not sure if she was a yoledet or not. Remember all those cases of miscarriages? Imad shalonim leka no dala sheyalda. If she figures it out before they did the malika, that's the shrita and the mikdash, then teasen sheyalda vadai, that she's a vadai, then teasen a vadai. We can just flip it into a vadai. Why? Shemimin shi mivial hoda, mivial lo hoda. If you remember, we learned about the safek. What does she do? She brings a chatat and an ola, generally. So what does she do? When she brings her ola, she says, if this doesn't work, it's an ola nedava. And if it's a chatat, well, either it's a chatat, and then she can bring it, and the meat gets eaten by the kohanim. If it's not a chatat, because she didn't really need to bring it, then she's just doing malika of chulin, and then the meat ends up not kosher, because you can't eat meat that was chulin, that was did malika in the mikdash. And since you only do the blood on the mizbeach, and you don't burn the parts, we say it's okay to do that, even though it's chulin. They kind of allow it in this case, but no one eats the meat, okay? So basically, it's the same korbanot, though. It's the same kind of idea as the me'ila, as the asham, right? That you do the same thing, and therefore you wouldn't need to replace it. Chaticha shel chulin v'chaticha shel hekdesh. Let's say there was a piece of chulin and a piece of hekdesh. Achal achat mehem be'eni yodea ezem en achal. That's zafek me'ila. Patur, right? You're patur from a korban, because that's your safek mila. You don't bring a korban. Rabbi Akiva mechayev asham talui. Okay, that's exactly our machloket that we discussed today. Achalat hashnia mevi asham vadai. Okay, what if he ate both in the end? You bring an asham vadai, even though you're not sure which eating was the one that was aser, you still know for sure you ate isur, and therefore you ate hekdesh, so you bring an asham vadai. What if achal achad et harishona uba acher v'achal et hashnia? Two different people, so we're going to have a machloket. Zem mevi asham taloi, v'zem mevi asham taloi, d'ver Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds you bring asham taloi b'chlal, it could only be according to Rabbi Akiva, they each bring an asham taloi. Rabbi Shimon omer, shnehem mevi'im asham achad. They bring one asham together with the two of them, and they say, if it's yours, it's yours, if it's mine, it's mine. Rabbi Yossi omer, ein shnayim mevi'im asham achad. He says, there's no such thing as tnayim korbanot, if it's yours, it's yours, if it's mine, it's mine. You can't do that.